Blog Talk Radio.
Sidekick Publications is the newest place for all your martial arts informational needs. My Karate, Introduction to American Wadaru, Martial Arts Guide to Success, History of Japanese Martial Arts, Taizanru Taihojutsu, and the new Martial Directory. With martial art master instructors like Michael DePasquale Jr., Joe Miller, Alan Woodman, and many more. Everything for martial arts enthusiasts, techniques, shiatsu, history, all in one place. Available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and bookstores near you. Also available on digital downloads for Kindle and ebook readers. Visit our website at www.sidekickpublication.com and order your books today. Remember, Sidekick Publications, all the action you can read.
Shotokan Karate, the ancient Japanese martial art of self-defense. Come to the Dento Takina Dojo, the headquarters of the International Karate Do Association, 381 Canal Place, Suite 203, Bronx, New York. Learn traditional Shotokan Karate from certified black belt instructors from the U.S. and Japan. Kata, Kumite, and Culture, official training center of the New York Guardian Angels. Kids, teens, and adult classes available. Call 917-383-8787 for more information. Dento Takina Dojo, headquarters for the International Karate Do Association, 381 Canal Place, Suite 203. Call 917-383-8787. Come get your karate on.
The Martial Arts History Museum is the first of its kind in the world, and it only exists with your support. Give generously to the museum and always listen to Sidekick Talk Radio.
That's right, Michael Matsuda. Always listen to Sidekick Talk Radio. Welcome to the program, everybody, Martial Arts Talk Show. I was on Soki, the program tonight. And it was just, what an awesome topic. They were talking about, when you have to use your craft, what are you allowed? What is too much? What is not enough? One of the comments that was mentioned was, what happens when you are confronted with a situation where you do have to actually defend yourself? Depending on, the amount of force that you have to use, how do you justify it? What is too much? So, when you train, as you train in the dojo, if you don't train, properly, if you don't train as to what you're allowed to do, 9 chances out of 10, you're going to wind up doing too much. And then again, what is too much? All of the strikes in our art are deadly strikes. You've been training since day one to break joints. I'm telling you, what a program. So, Soki-san, Kalik, Shihan, Farouk Gibbs, on Doc Talk Radio, they had, what a great topic, because this is the one thing that, if we're teaching children how to do movements that will do bodily harm, the recipient of these techniques, done properly, is very, very dangerous. And then Soki asked the question, do you teach in your schools the validity of the execution of technique? In other words, based on what we teach in the curriculum. One of the line items that we give to a brand new student is Kime, your focus. That's the whole premise of the Ishinu system, how you deliver your technique. Well, oddly enough, if you deploy your technique in a way that you actually deliver Kime and focus in your technique, the result of that is how you administer your technique based on being able to operate within the law. Well, one of the comments that the masters made on the program tonight is you can't think about it. You can't hesitate. You can't pause. So the law doesn't allow for that, basically. Because if you listen to what the masters were saying tonight, if you are challenged on the street, your ultimate goal is to get away safely. Now, whether you have to encounter or you do what you have to do to make sure you don't have an encounter requires you to think. Now, if the law says that I'm allowed to defend myself, and then the law also says, while administering that defense, where do you cross the line? In the written word, where do you cross the line? What is sufficient? What is excessive? Now, if we don't teach by the law, then that means when the student does go out of the dojo and, God forbid, does encounter some type of altercation, then the reflection of how they delegate their technique in their attack or their defense is essential to whether or not they will be prosecuted by the law. That was what I think Soki Hassan Farouk was trying to get across to the listeners, that, you know, when we go outside the dojo, if we don't behave a certain way in not just our daily lives, but should we ever be forced to be confronted with having to have to protect ourselves, does the crime fit the punishment? And does the punishment fit the crime? It works both ways. So if you do go into any dojo, they spoke about a soloplex strike. Any dojo that you go in will probably show you some type of strike to that area, because it is a, they call it center mass. When you shoot, in target practice for center mass. With an empty hand strike, that is one of the areas that they teach you, even when you're a Q rank, to strike. So it is a way we train. Now, that also came out in the program tonight. You will react the way you train. Now, having said all of that, when you're confronted where you feel that you are in danger for your life, your body does not react the way it does when you're just sitting in a chair. So there's no way to gauge how you're going to react unless you practice in that type of environment. So that's why, in the beginning, you would want to go to a dojo to learn how to defend yourself and how to defend yourself in those conditions. Now, what Soki was saying was, what is going to be your response, should you be challenged on the street. Now, the severity of that challenge is what the other masters were referring to as, well, I'm going to react based on what you throw at me, because I am the martial artist. Now, considering the fact, I don't know what you know. I don't know if the other person that is trying to attack me is a martial artist. So that was another thing that my sensei always told us, never assume what other people know. You may encounter somebody that's 1,000 times a better martial artist than you are. So don't ever assume that you think that this person may be a martial artist or may not be a martial artist. And then another very, very key point was brought up on their show, and that is, what happens if somebody's hopped up on drugs? You hit them a couple of times, and they have no that, you know, they're numb. So, you know, I've even, you know, been told stories by law enforcement where they shoot somebody and they still keep coming because they're so hopped up on drugs. So, never assume anything. I will go with the vote. Don't think, you better react. Once you think, it may cost you your life, because you've now gone against your flinch response, which is what you've been training in the dojo. And once you negate that thought and, you know, think of something else, and it's not truly what, you know, you've been training, you know, it could cost you your life. Now again, we're not asking, as Soki Hasan Farooq said, we're not asking anybody to break the law. But, you know, for goodness sake, we are allowed to defend ourselves. Now, if in the fact that you will prosecute me for being excessive, how could you then justify being in my shoes at that moment as to what, you know, the adrenal release in my body, that's what came out of me because of the way I train? And then they'll say, well, because you do train, you should be able to administer your technique to the degree that it needs to be administered. Well, as Grandmaster the Puppet said to Soki Hasan Farooq, when the officers and the EMT get there, this gentleman has a popped eardrum. He's got a, you know, busted jaw on the right side. His fourth rib is gone. You know, and you should be able to tell the police what you did. As Soki said, you did the work. You got to fix him. So that, again, is being a part of, you know, a true martial artist, knowing what you can do. But under stress, sometimes, and that was the point of the show tonight, sometimes you can be excessive because of your focus, your kime. And this is why we train. But martial way and the law way is different. You're not allowed to do what our martial art is designed to do, period. You're just not. Not in a civilized, you know, way of life that we consider to be civilized here in these 50 states. So, law. Once you involve law with self-defense, it's like oil and vinegar. They don't mix. They may taste good together, but they don't mix. So, next, how do you find the balance? I went with control. If you can try to control your attacker by not doing bodily harm, that helps. Because if you can pull that off, then you can justify your actions in court. But if you strike, as Soki said tonight, if you strike to the solar plex, and because you're a little, you know, you've had an adrenaline release, that strike may be a little bit more than you wanted to deliver. So there's the scary part. There's the part where, all right, now how do I justify my actions? I've been working out like this for all these years. The one thing I go to do and use, it comes out of me, and look at the result. You know? We'll bring in Sensei Greg. Sensei, I know you've been listening to me rant, but on the program tonight, they were talking about this topic, and I just picked it up because I just thought that, I don't know, how do you justify your actions? Especially when you're scared. You're not thinking that at this moment, I have to pay attention to the law. I have to make sure that I go home tonight. And then I got to also make sure that I don't hurt this person so that it's not justified. What's your take on that?
I think it's a very important topic, you know, mainly because we are trained martial artists. And when, you know, you train for so long to get into muscle memory, when you get into an altercation, like you say, you know, outside influences come into play. Your adrenaline, you know, what kind of threat is it? You're scared, you know, so you're going to react. And if you train in just an art that shows you how to really hurt somebody, that's not going to be a good combination, like you said. And which is why, me personally, I am a huge fan of the chokes. Because if you do it the right way and you go for the blood choke and not the oxygen choke, there is no damage done to anybody, and that guy is fully incapacitated. I don't care what drugs they're on. Like you said, they can be on PCP and all this stuff, and you shoot them and they keep coming. But yet, if you put a choke on, I don't care what drugs they're on, they are out, and they cannot move, and they are incapacitated enough for you to get away or tie them up. And
well, that's why I went with the word control. Because I'm not allowed to break bones and, you know, bust ribs and knock teeth out, which are very simple things to do in our style. It doesn't require much, you know, to do what I just said. But yet, if you deploy those techniques, you will be arrested and you will suffer the consequences. You know, when you're teaching children, you know, that's the most delicate balance, because you don't want to teach them a martial way at the age of six. You want to start them on their journey, but you don't want them to be treating others that, you know, now that they have this skill, they can be bullies, because that was another topic. You know, bullying is a very big problem for children in school. Mm-hmm. You know, most parents, you know, like mine, sent me to learn how to fight because I was getting bullied in school. What's justifiable? You know, what are you allowed to do? Based on all 50 states, I'm sure that there are rules and regulations that differ from state to state as to what physical deadly force is defined as.
Yeah, I think it's definitely levels of you know, what the situation is, and there's different levels of what they allow. But, I mean,
one of the things that was said on the program tonight was if somebody goes to throw a punch at you and you bust their arm, when you go to court, they're going to say that you were excessive by breaking their arm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that before, and I definitely think that it's tough in a situation like that to say, you know, when you react, especially, you know, and some people say, well, I was better safe than sorry, but it's a give and take. It's hard to say, but I do think that for kids, I wouldn't even get to the point of physical harm. For me, the most important things for kids is, number one, have fun, making an exercise for them, get them wary of their body control. And that's the main, those are the main things that should be for kids, you know. They shouldn't, you know, be knowing how to harm. I mean, I know you want to be able to prepare them for a bad situation, but, you know, like you said, bullying is probably the most important thing to teach kids on, you know, what it is and how to avoid it. But how do you end bullying? It's by giving them confidence. If most of the time people are getting bullied because they have self-esteem issues, and it's a confidence issue, you know. And,
yeah, they don't fit in.
Yeah, I mean, but most of the time, bullying is the fear of being hurt. And if you train them on being comfortable in a physical environment, that's going to give them confidence.
Well,
you know, I mean, it's a delicate subject, but it is a very tough subject without a doubt. Definitely.
And now here's the next part of it. Do you think that because you're teaching a martial art, do you think it is something that is required to teach the students and make them aware of the result of them studying a true martial art, meaning that when these techniques are deployed, they are deadly? So the kime, the focus, the actual architecture of what they teach you in the deployment of technique, if done to certain areas of the body, are fatal movements. So do you think that's something that they should be taught, because it's part of the weapon, it's part of the martial, it is the root of our style, that we conjure up energy from within our body and deliver it with our strikes. So, yes, I said absolutely. That is definitely something that they have to know, because they must know their own strength. They must know that when they hit me in my temple, I don't care how big or strong I am, you hit me hard enough in my temple, I'm going to go down. Hit me hard enough in my heart, and you stop my heart, you're going to kill me. I'm a human being. So to what degree now do the students understand and recognize the power of those strikes? Because that's what they'll get in trouble for. If they deploy certain strikes at certain targets, with the way the laws are, self-defense will be considered, you went excessive. Tough, very, very tough, tough topic. You know, Soki Hassan Farouk, you know, tonight touched on, you know, being real, man. When you're out on the street and you get challenged, to what degree, I believe the phrase was, does the crime fit the punishment? Does the punishment fit the crime? When you deliver your response to whatever is coming at you, to what degree do you administer it? Now, once you start thinking, okay, once you start thinking, that could cost you your life. If you don't, you've trained all this time for a flinch response. If you don't flinch response at that moment and you think, fight's over. You've now broken the momentum of the way you process, because at that moment now you freeze and say, oh, geez, you know, do I do this? Do I do that? So now the law doesn't consider that, is my contention, because nobody sitting behind a desk that I explain this to is going to understand me. Why? Because Soki Hassan Farouk did say tonight, the jury operates under reasonable doubt. So I have to convince you now that I operated under reasonable doubt. And in a fight, my friend, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. So now you're managing the way I'm going to administer my technique with a system that doesn't allow you to understand my reaction and the justification of my reaction. And everybody's different. You may react, you know, 100% different than me. But under that moment, in that circumstance, that's what came out of me. Why? Because I didn't think about it. I just did it. Well, what you just did now, you know, you're going to go to jail. You're going to have attorneys. You're going to have to, you know, I mean, it's a very delicate subject.
Yeah, it really is, and I think it's that important to, you know, like you said, the student has to know how deadly what they're learning
is.
You know,
yeah,
definitely. They have to know that. They have to know what level, you know what I mean? But you also can't endanger the student to where they're in a situation and they're thinking, oh, my God, I might get in trouble. You know what I mean? That's not a good thing either, because then you're going to put them in danger. But that's why I really like the martial arts schools that teach their students. Let me rephrase that. I really think that this is where cross training can benefit, because
if
you're limited to that one style that teaches you to do damage. And that's it. That's all you have. So now somebody throws a punch and you're going to try to kick the knee out and knock their tooth, you know what I mean, break their nose, and because that's all you're taught. You don't know how to react in another way, you know what I mean? So I think this subject, the best way to answer that would be cross-train as much as you can, because there are a lot of other arts out there that can teach you how to judge those levels, because like I said before on this show, you might be in a situation where you're at a family party and you have some drunk uncle that you need to control, and you're not going to try to knock him out or break a limb.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's
so
right.
You need to have that, you know, I might take him down, control him, throw him in the mount position, and he won't be able to move. And that's fine. That's your goal. There's no damage done to anybody, and you control the situation.
Right.
You know? Especially in the street, if somebody's, like you said, high on PCP and attacking you, and you know you're going to be in trouble for snapping the guy's shoulder and busting his arm and stuff, you know, spit around to his back, you put him in a rear naked choke, he is out. And when he wakes up, he is absolutely not a scratch on him. And you have to learn how to apply chokes the right way, because people have gotten injured because they do what's called a choke, but it crushes the windpipe. That is not the correct choke. You should put a choke on somebody, and they should be breathing fine. They should be getting air fine. It's the blood that's cutting off that passes them out. And it's a very delicate thing to learn, so I think cross-training is a big answer for that. Big.
It is one of the advocates, because, knowing more is better than not knowing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
being limited. Yeah, being limited.
Right.
Is
yeah.
Not
right.
Good.
Don't be limited. That's the key. And again, I think the common denominator here is control, so that you don't get in trouble. Do your best. You know, train control. Control.
Yeah, you
control.
Have to have the power to decide the level of damage that you're going to do, and you have to be able to do that in a situation that where your adrenaline is going to be up. You know what I mean?
It's very hard.
If you're going to be in a situation where all you're going to do is react and bust noses and arms, that's not going to be good. You have to be able to determine the level of damage that you want to give on the fly and be able to do that from what you learn. So.
Well, we only got 30 seconds left, but we do have another 614 caller on. Who's calling? Maybe he's got his mic on hold.
Henshi Venner?
Yes, this is Danny.
Henshi Venner, it's Joe Estrada, Mad Majoe.
This is Joe Estrada?
Yeah, Mad Majoe.
Wow, from Australia, really? Are you calling me from Australia?
I am, sir.
Oh, my goodness. That's just unbelievable. What an honor to have a call from overseas like that.
No,
say hello, Sensei Greg.
Hey, how are you? Good to see you on the show.
I'm good, Sensei Greg. Yeah, no, just listening to your radio show. I just thought I'd get my tips worth, if I may.
Yes, please.
No, I mean, it's, you know, I agree with you know, everything you're saying, you know. And I suppose because of my passion, as you know, is kids and empowering kids. And similar to you, I was bullied at school. I think one of the things that we need, that martial artists, instructors, you know, must teach is that whatever you're taught, ideally it's as a last resort. You know, and obviously cross-training, you know, I agree, you know, that's one thing I wish I'd done more of. But one of the things I teach, and, you know, someone who inspired me in some of their words was his words, you know, the art of fighting without fighting. And I believe, you know, that's one of the things that I encourage is to fight without fighting. You know, the first thing... you know, that we need to do before anything in a situation is smile and say, what's the problem? You know, and then you have to rate it from there. Just thought, I mean, and I know your show's going off in a minute. But yeah, so what do you think?
It is, the law tells us to de-escalate at all costs. You're not allowed, even when they throw a punch at you, you're not allowed to hurt them.
Yes.
That's the law. You're the martial artist. You're supposed to be able to control with your skill, with what you've learned, that situation. Yes. Now, if they have a weapon in their hand, even though they have a weapon, you may still get in trouble if you hurt them excessively.
Yes. Yeah.
Now that's
that's
very difficult when under adrenal stress. It is very difficult to recognize that fact because you're scared for your life.
Yes. Yeah. No. Absolutely. But I think I liked what you first, you know, especially for children. I'm talking about here. You know, building up their confidence, you know, and, you know, in the books, then, you know, for them, they may be able to deal with situations, even deal with, you know, think more clearly than just fear.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that came out on the program tonight was when a child is getting bullied in school. One of the things that we ask the child to do then is gather as many allies as you can and use numbers to back you, meaning not to fight, but to ask everybody to stop the bullying. Sort of use the peer pressure to uses your defense by asking others to support you. Now, if no one else will support you and you continue to get bullied, one of the techniques that we ask is asking the parents now. If the child can't get any allies on its own, then we go to the next level and ask the parents to get together. If that doesn't work, we ask the parents and the school teachers to get to work. If the bullying still continues, then it's a reflection now on those parents.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like what you're saying there. Obviously, the art of fighting without fighting and avoiding confrontation is definitely the number one thing in which every martial artist should be taught on how to avoid situations without a doubt. You know, I mean, the things we're talking about as far as level of, you know, damage is if you, it's totally unavoidable. You know, obviously the first two steps is to avoid the confrontation and escape from there without even getting into a confrontation. You know, I think if most of the situations that requires you as a martial artist to defend yourself is something you couldn't have got out of. I mean, there's countless of situations in my experience that could have been led to a confrontation, but it wasn't, because I knew how to get out of it in the proper manner, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes, you know.
Sensei Joe, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, sorry. I was just going to say, I mean, you know, I think sometimes you've just, you know, through training, you know, and that's what the great thing is the benefits for kids, is you learn, or men learn, to put their ego aside, to put their fear aside, and, you know, try and look and think, you know, if you like, the bigger picture, you know, does this really matter? You know, is it worth the, you know, the harm I'll do or the harm I'll get, to just say, yeah, whatever, no problem, see ya, bye. You know, but as you know, sometimes you can't avoid a situation. Someone just, you know, has decided they are going to do something and you have to deal with it.
Yeah, I heard a funny story recently. A fellow martial artist got into a competition at a club one night, and the guy was about to swing at him, and my buddy just said, hey, you know what, you want to fight? Here's my business card. Come down to my school tomorrow, and we'll have a sparring match. And the guy was, like, completely blown away, and nothing happened.
Yes.
fight avoided, you know, fight avoided. I mean, it might be cocky, you know what I mean? It might be on the funny end of it, but it stopped the fight. It stopped the confrontation, and everybody left.
You know why I'm laughing, if I may? It's over my experience in life and travels, you know, I'd say one of my heroes, basically because I'm, you know, you don't know me, but besides loving the martial arts, and I like, you know, to have a good spa, I like to keep that in the dojo. And outside of the dojo, you know, I've learned things in my life too. You know, I want to be a pleasant, and I want to diffuse situations, that, you know, so that things don't happen. But as I say, Bruce Lee inspired me with those words, the art of fighting without fighting. And I've actually am, you know, slowly putting a list of things together. And the story just told us, and say, Greg, you know, remind me of some of the greats there that actually are what I call educational, you know, because there's some things that I've done to diffuse situations and, you know, make people laugh, you know. And, you know, I bet he was laughing his head off at the end of that, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, I like that. I think every martial artist should strive to be at the point where they do martial arts to keep learning, to keep exploring what their body can do, you know, stay in shape, touch others' lives and make their lives better through the study of martial arts. Because when I started, my main goal was to learn how to protect myself in a situation and self-defense and how to fight. That was my original goal when I was 13 years old. Now it's to the point where I just want to learn everything. You know, I have no desire to fight in the street. I want to, you know, learn and keep learning and keep in shit. I mean, those are my main goals now, you know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Sensei, because it's a great focus. You've set some great goals for yourself, and you've achieved the goals so far that you've set, so... I can only imagine what's going to come out of you over the next 30, 40 years. But the topic of conversation tonight is so important to us as instructors, because we teach the children, and the children are our future. So how we give them and what we give them is so important, especially if you are to be considered a martial artist and to behave like a martial artist. So knowing that the tools that you have are deadly, how you apply them is based on your upbringing in that martial arts journey. Now, to be excessive, you know what excessive is. You know the vital areas of the body. The body is what it is. If you strike those areas, you in your heart of hearts know you're probably being excessive. And then, to reinforce what Sensei Joe Estrada said, was that maybe make a joke. Make the person laugh. If that doesn't work, use another one of your de-escalation techniques. Now, that is being taught to you in the dojo. If you do teach the children how to de-escalate, one of the tools that they will reach for when they need it is that de-escalation verbiage. Maybe it's a joke. Maybe it's something about, like you said, hand a business card, stop down to the school, make sure you sign a release form, and then we'll fight. It's things like that. So those are de-escalation tools, and we want to put them in that category for the children so that they understand it. When you use physical force, physical deadly force by the law, whether it be with a handgun, a knife, or your hands or feet, when you administer that physical deadly force to any one of our 50 states, you will be arrested. You will be arrested. There's just no way out of it. So when you train, the way you train is the way you're going to react. You can't ask me to train a certain way and then not apply that training the way I was taught on the street. So there's the balance that we as martial art instructors have to have in our curriculum to let them know that what we're teaching you is deadly. And now the way you administer it, by the law, control and not losing your head. Once you lose your head, you will get in trouble. You will be excessive. So you have to train that way. The best way to train is, like Sensei Greg said, if you put them in the proper choke and you stop the blood flow, you won't hurt them, but you will control them. And then when they wake up, you won't have to suffer the consequences of you breaking a joint or, worse yet, taking a life. So great conversation tonight, guys. This is what every dojo in America and around the world has to realize when they're teaching the young ones. Because if they put these values in the young ones and teach them how to do this, 9 chances out of 10, they won't have to fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Sensei Ben, I'm going to send you, if we can, after this call, give me a buzz. I'm going to go over a video with you, which is actually I want to share with everybody. A black belt in jiu-jitsu, Ryan Hall, goes out to eat with a bunch of other black belts, and some drunk guy just starts a confrontation. And the guy needed to end it, and it's a great way to show exactly what you're talking about. So I'll show you that when we're done.
Well, thank you for that, Sensei. It's just, I'm very passionate about this subject, because how do you find the balance between what you're teaching and what it's intended to do, and then what you're allowed to do? Does the punishment fit the crime? Does the crime fit the punishment? It works both ways. And in our business, with what we teach, if administered properly, can be deadly, and will be deadly, especially if you're under adrenal stress, where you're fearing for your life. And I can't say enough about that, because when they leave the dojo, you're responsible for the curriculum that you put in those kids. So you better have covered your bases as an instructor, because by the law, the law can come back to you now as the instructor saying, well, you taught this child this.